The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, August 21st, 2017. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 165th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, the Weekly Standard ran a great think piece on what Shakespeare's Thomas More can teach us about angry mobs, all in the wake of the incident at Charlottesville, Virginia, just over a week ago. The National in the United Arab Emirates ran a piece on a costume sale by the Royal Shakespeare Company covering some wardrobe from over the last 20 years of production. The Oxford University Press blog published a fun little interactive map of Europe with Shakespeare play locations. It's not the deep thinking that we have come to expect from the OUP, but it was fun nevertheless. Utah Public Radio ran a great piece on how Utah Shakespeare Festival is becoming a destination for many actors. The Guardian was one of many outlets that covered the introduction of Michelle Terry, of whom I'm a bit of a fanboy, as the new artistic director of Shakespeare's Globe, which she says will be gender, race, and disability blind. WTOP in Washington, D.C. previewed Shakespeare Theater Company's upcoming production of Othello, running through the end of the month at their theater in our nation's capital. Theater Mania reviewed The Tempest by Shakespeare and Company in Boston, Massachusetts, calling the production delightful, family-friendly wizardry. The Boston Globe also reviewed the production, running through September the 3rd, praising the force of nature performance by their Prospero, Nigel Gore, and WBUR also reviewed it, calling it spare but magical. Iron Country Today reviewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Utah Shakespeare Festival, running in Cedar City, Utah through October 21st, giving the production a positive review. I saw this a couple of weeks ago, and I would concur. The Arts Desk reviewed King Lear by Shakespeare's Globe, running in London, giving this Brexit-ish production 2 of 5 stars. What's on Stage also reviewed the production, running through October 14th, giving it 3 of 5 stars and calling it visionary but not for everyone. The Guardian also gave it 3 of 5 stars, calling it sober, chaste, and decently spoken. The Financial Times also reviewed the production, also giving it 3 of 5 stars and calling it a mixed journey. The Independent gave it 3 of 5 stars and says that it may not be a great production, but it does build to a gutting climax. And finally, The Telegraph gave it 4 of 5 stars and says the lead performance by McNally rivals McKellen's. The Tennessean reviewed The Winter's Tale by Shakespeare in the Park, running in Nashville to September 17th, calling it an engaging performance. The Times of Israel reviewed The Taming of the Shrew by Theater in the Rough, running in Jerusalem through August 24th, calling the all-female production comic gold. DC Metro Theater Arts reviewed the new production of Othello by Shakespeare Theater Company in our nation's capital, calling it a fascinating fresh revelation. DC Theater Scene also reviewed the production that closes Sunday, calling it satisfying. And Broadway World also reviewed it, calling it stunning and fresh. And finally, Syracuse.com reviewed Shakespeare's R plus J by Hangar Theater, running in Ithaca, New York through September 2nd, calling this all-female, four-actor production a bracing celebration of theatricality. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On August 15th, 1057, Macbeth died, killed during a retreat by his army from the British invasion of Scotland by the future Malcolm III and son of Duncan I. Macbeth, mortally wounded by Malcolm, was succeeded by his stepson Lulach. This is kind of sort of depicted in Macbeth, though with a lot of poetic license. On August 16th, 1513, Henry VIII and Maximilian I, the Holy Roman Emperor, as part of the Holy League, defeated the French cavalry at the Battle of the Spurs. The Holy League had been formed to defend the Pope against his enemies, including the French. Ironic, since less than 15 years later, Henry would request a papal annulment of his marriage to Catherine of Aragon, and when he didn't get it, he broke from the Catholic Church and formed the Church of England. On August 17, 1473, Richard of Shrewsbury, Duke of York, was born. The second son of King Edward IV, he became the heir presumptive when his father died on April 9, 1483, and his older brother became Edward V. However, within 3 months, his and his brother's legitimacy was nullified, and their uncle, Richard, Duke of Gloucester, became Richard III. And this Richard and his brother went to the Tower of London and were never seen again, depicted, of course, in Richard III. On August 18, 1415, Henry V began his siege at Harfleur, which lasted over a month before it surrendered to Henry's forces. This is depicted in Henry V and the occasion for two of the great speeches of that piece. On August 19, 1399, Richard II surrendered to Henry Bolingbroke at Flint Castle. Bolingbroke allowed Richard to live under the agreement that Richard would give up the crown. Richard did abdicate on September 29th, and Bolingbroke was crowned Henry IV on October 13th. This is depicted in Richard II. On August 20th, 1191, Richard I killed nearly 3,000 Muslim prisoners during the Crusades when the Muslim leader Saladin did not pay the ransom for the garrison at Acre quickly enough. Saladin did a little tit-for-tat and had all of his Christian prisoners killed as well. This is not from Shakespeare, but it's pretty brutal, and it does call to mind Henry's call for the execution of prisoners during the Agincourt sequence of Henry V. On August 21st, 2007, Kenneth Branagh's As You Like It debuted on HBO in the US. His adaptation, set in Japan during the Shogunate period, played in theaters in other parts of the world, but ran only on HBO, the film's producer, in the United States. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending August the 21st, 2017. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we'll catch you next week. Shakespeare fans, need a poster to hang in your room? Teachers, need some nifty handouts for your students to peruse as you introduce them to the Bard? Or are you just in the mood for some printable versions of some of the cool infographics found on this website? Well, regardless of how you answered those questions, I've got a scratch for that itch, a solution for that problem. Check out the Bill Shakespeare Project page on the Teachers Pay Teachers website. You can find character maps for Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar, previewing the characters and their relationships to one another. I've also got geographical maps so your students can wrap their heads around travels within the plays Troilus and Cressida. Yes, even TNC gets some love. All's Well That Ends Well as well. See what I did there? Plus Pericles and Othello. There's also handouts on the so-called history in Macbeth and Julius Caesar, time in Romeo and Juliet, and violence in Titus Andronicus. Also, you'll find entire packets of handouts for both King Lear and Macbeth, including scene-by-scene timelines and the interactions as well as relationships between the characters. And I'll be adding even more soon. Plus, this is where you can find the printable version of the new and improved periodic table of Shakespeare. Some of these are for free, and some are for purchase, but all can be found on the Bill Shakespeare Project page on teacherspayteachers.com. Oh, and if you want to purchase a pre-printed poster-sized version of that periodic table, well then head on over to the Bill Shakespeare Project page on redbubble.com. Links to both of these sites can be found in the left-hand margin of this website.